And we want to welcome you to Thursday here, Back to School at Parkway. It's Kevin Sandler with you, and I want to thank Swiss Village and Shannon Sharon Center, along with Second Crossing Brewery, Rockford Chamber, and The Fix. We have a gentleman here with us. We've talked with him before. It's always such a pleasure to catch up with Matt Triplett, the middle school principal here at Parkway. And Matt, good to see you again. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me on today. We appreciate it.
You know, every time we talk to you, there is something new to talk about. And in this case, you've got new staff, I understand, this time around.
Yeah, we sure do. New year, new staff. We've added three new teachers I'd like to highlight this year. Trisha Ridenour. Trisha came to us from Van Wert. She is our new gifted instructor. We've kind of revamped this year what we how we roll out our gifted program with regards to more emphasis on having an actual instructor to pull those kids out and to work with the gifted population. Trisha had experience at Van Wert Middle School doing that, and she's been great so far to work with. And she's local here in town, and all of her kids have either gone to graduated from Parkway or currently at Parkway. So she's excited to be here, and we're excited to have her, of course. Another teacher we have, our new band director, Amy Drake, another Parkway graduate. I don't believe I was here when Amy was here, my former days as athletic director, but she's doing a wonderful job with our band. I just set in today, I believe it was on seventh grade. The band was sounding really good. I was walking down the hallway, and they particularly sounded wonderful today, and I thought, man, she's really got the band going great. And as I got closer, they were listening to a rendering of the song they were working on, and I said, boy, you guys really sound awesome today. I am so proud of you. And one of the students said, well, you probably heard the tape. And so I said, well, I want to stay and hear your version, and they did just as good. So she's doing a great job with our band, and looking forward to having her on board with us. And then finally, we have a new teacher came to us. I believe she's from the St. Mary's area, but she came to us from Xenia. Her name is Abby Wilker, and Abby is working with our STEM program. She spent some time back and forth between the middle school and the high school, and I was in her room the other day. The kids are working on their first set of robots they're building, and it's amazing what, you know, what those kids can do with a big pile of parts. And how they make it all together. I know my mind doesn't work that way, and how they fit it all together and make it do things is quite interesting to watch, and Abby's doing a great job with those kids. So really excited about all of our new staff and the start of the new year.
Kind of gives you like a shot in the arm, doesn't it, to get young minds, fresh ideas in there, you know?
It does. It really does. If for anything else, it's great to bounce ideas off of teachers, especially teachers with experience. And, you know, you can ask them, well, you know, this is how we do it here. It doesn't mean it's good, bad, right, or wrong, but, you know, how did you guys do something, you know, at your previous district? And you find there's a lot of similarity, but there's also some things that, you know, you learn, you think, well, you know what, maybe we could do that here. I never really thought about that. So the sharing of the ideas is something that definitely motivates us intrinsically as educators, and I know all three of those teachers do a good job of that.
Also, you know, as you kind of go through the year, you know, middle school thing, you know, obviously the DC trips, which are so common in mm-hmm. our area, lucky for us that, you know, we're reasonably close to Washington, D.C., that you can charter a bus and take kids, you know, to see the nation's capital, a rite of passage, you know, that for middle school kids and, you know, for some of the parents, you know, that because they grew up here and sometimes they chaperone, they've been to D.C. 2, 3, 4 times or whatever. But that's a big deal, isn't it?
It is. It's a big deal. And we've kind of made a change this year. Several of the districts in the area are going to a DC trip in the fall as opposed to the spring for a variety of reasons. And you know, this will be our first trip. We're coming up on October 13th through the 16th is when we will be taking this current group of eighth graders out to Washington. So we won't be able to see the cherry blossoms, but that's okay. We've been told, you know, for a lot of reasons, getting away from spring testing is one of the main reasons that we decided to make that change. Also, what we hear from other schools, what we hear from K and K tours who we go through, is that typically the lines are a little shorter. It's easier to obtain tickets for students and for our chaperones for the variety of the museums. And it's not that you're guaranteed to see everything you want to see, but you have a better chance in the fall. It's not peak season for tourism. And, you know, we've experienced that the last few years, especially. I think tourism is back in D.C. I don't have any way to quantify that, but I know last year it was just wall-to-wall people when we went in the spring, and we had a wonderful trip, don't get me wrong, but we're excited for the for me, it's a quick turnaround. It's not a quick turnaround for these kids, but to be going in the fall and to have that little break between the fall season and the winter athletic season. We also have our musical coming up at that time, so nobody's going to miss anything regarding that. And we have some a lot of things planned on the trip that are very, very similar to a trip in the spring. It's just that we're going to be going a few months earlier. And I'm excited about what we have planned. We do have some kids not going on the trip. We have some events planned for those students. Among them, the students staying back will be going down to the Air Force Museum in Dayton for the day, taking them out to lunch, having them go through that museum, which if you've had a chance to go there, that's a wonderful museum, and one day does not do it justice.
No question. And maybe also someday some of those kids could end up in Columbus even and see mm-hmm. how state government works.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. So we wanted to try to find something for those kids to give them, you know, something that they can tie into and they can connect with. And I don't believe anywhere else in our system here at Parkway that we take students, a large group of students, down to Dayton. So I know we have students that go over to the Wrights, Wapakoneta to the Neil Armstrong Museum. But I believe that this is the only group that goes down to Dayton. So we try to make something for everybody.
And some years, you know, you kind of get lucky with this where some, you know, the congressmen and other, you know, people from this area, you know, can meet with the kids, mm-hmm. you know. In other words, it's like you've come to see them at work, so to speak.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. We lucked out last spring. We did receive a tour of the White House, our group of students and our chaperones, and that was a great experience to see the inner workings. You know, we didn't obviously get to go into the Oval Office or anything. President Trump really didn't stick around to ask us for my opinion or anybody on the trip. But nonetheless, to be inside the grounds and to be inside such an historic building, not only to our country, but to world history, it was awesome. And I tell you, a lot of the kids, you know, I like to ask them, especially when we get back from our trip, you know, what was your favorite thing to see? So many of them said, man, that was awesome to be inside the White House. And they were very impressed with the amount of security we had to go through. And I think in the minds of an eighth grade student, they probably thought, yeah, we'll just walk through, you know, one line of security. And I said, no, we're going to be going through about seven or eight. So
yeah, this is not a Graceland tour where they just kind of let you in, right?
Yeah, anybody's welcome. So no, it was not like that at all, but it was such a great time for those students to be in there. And they have across the street from the White House, and we will attend this again this year. It's called the People's House, and it's a museum dedicated to the White House. And they actually have a replica of the current Oval Office. And so that was really good to they have the Resolute desk there. And so kids got to get their pictures taken there. And so it's a neat time. It's a great time to learn about our nation's history. It's a great time to bond with our eighth graders. It's kind of, as you mentioned, a rite of passage. It's kind of one of the last things I get to do with them as their middle school principal before shipping them on to the high school.
Yeah, it would be something to see the real Oval Office. And just think about things like that. That's where Harry Truman was when he said the buck stops here. And you remember Ronald Reagan had a thing that he would not go in that office without his jacket and tie.
Yes.
You know, just
yes.
stuff like that comes back to you, remember. Or the fact that, and I think it's still there, Richard Nixon had a bowling alley put into the White House mm-hmm. so he could bowl. And
yeah.
Talk about history, right? It was overwhelming, right?
It was great because when we were there, the big thing going on was the preparations for the annual White House Easter egg hunt. And so as we were going through the East Room and I believe the Blue Room, we had a great view of where they were going to hold the Easter egg hunt just a mere, I think, 2 days later. But like you said, just the history and the people that have walked in that room, in those rooms, and the decisions that they have made that, you know, still have ramifications today, you know, after all these years. It's not something that that you take lightly, that's for sure.
No question. Now, another thing is you did mention Middle School Musical, another rite of passage, right? And you got one coming up, right?
Yes, we do. Coming up in October, we have Matilda, the musical. And I know we have, I talked to Mrs. Wagner, Shannon Wagner runs our musical, Middle School Musicals. And I can't remember the life of me. It was upper 40s, but we have a huge amount of kids involved in it this year. And they do such a good job. Last year was Aladdin. And again, it's one of those opportunities for our students to showcase some skill sets that they have and to be involved in things that, you know, that are not your typical language arts and math, science and social studies and so on and so forth. And so they've always done a good job. I look forward to that every year. I typically try to catch the Friday night show. I love watching the first show. Because typically that's when you see the most, I don't want to say mistakes, but that's when you get the best version, in my opinion. And the kids to step out in front of, you know, 400 or 500 people and to sing and to dedicate a lot of time and effort into memorizing lines and everything is really, it's impressive. It's something I would have definitely struggled with as a middle school student.
For sure. And also, you know, you talk about, fall sports, obviously we're well into, you know, that now, football, for example, but you know, a lot of people, just the best time of the year, isn't it?
It is. It sure doesn't feel like fall with the weather, but we are in the middle of our fall season. Our football teams are off to a good start. I believe we are home tonight against Versailles with the seventh grade starting at 5. The volleyball teams have both had a really good season combined, and I know we've had a few injuries with the eighth grade, especially a few long-term injuries that hopefully some of the girls can come back from. And I know our cross-country runners have done a wonderful job. I know talking with Savannah Tickle, she is an eighth grade student of ours. Great, great young lady, very, very top of the class, wonderful cross-country athlete. She actually broke our school cross-country record a few weeks ago. And that was wonderful to hear all about that. I wasn't at the race that she broke that. And we were talking and I was talking to a couple teachers. I said, yeah, Savannah must've done really well. And, you know, she broke the school record. And someone said, well, I think she just broke it again. And here she did the very next race. She broke the school record, her own record that didn't stand very long. So she's had a wonderful season but we're doing well. We have good numbers with our cheerleaders and good numbers, with all across the board, and the fall season will be over before we know it, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then you get into the winter season and some basketball, things mm-hmm. like that. You know, whether it's football, basketball, whatever, we kind of, you know, talked about this, yesterday with Terry Samples. I mean, these middle school athletes, they're your farm system. You know, they're going to be your varsity star someday, mm-hmm. right?
They sure are. And we try, especially in the middle school level, we don't really hide from the fact we try to encourage kids to play in different things. And that's what I loved as a former athletic director and current middle school principal. I love it when kids come up and say, hey, I don't know much about this sport, but I'm going to try it. And to me, that's what middle school sports is for. Yes, you want to win, but it's not the end-all, be-all. You know, I would rather to see kids be involved in multiple sports and just kind of tap into areas and maybe connect with other kids that they wouldn't otherwise do so. Coming up in the winter, we'll offer basketball. We'll offer wrestling for our kids, cheerleading again. And then separate from the school, but I know we have a club bowling team, which bowling is really growing in especially West Central Ohio and taking off. So it's neat that we have opportunities for our students to participate in sports. And I know, looking across the state and talking to relatives and friends of ours that, you know, are in situations in other schools where you have to pay to participate. We're very fortunate in our neck of the woods that is not something that's on our radar. And we're just excited when kids are excited about being involved in all kinds of extracurriculars, not just sports.
You also wanted a word or two about the recently released school report card.
Yes, that just came out a few days ago. We're making some strides. We're up to 3.5 stars for Parkway Middle School. As a district, we're up to 4 stars, and there's always room for improvement, no question. But I'm pleased with what the direction we're heading. I think we're dialing in, so to speak, the intervention process that our teachers work so hard with those kids that are right on the bubble of passing. We had probably not unlike a lot of schools, but we had several kids right at that 700 point, which is the passing mark for the state tests. We had several of those kids score 695 to 699. And so one of the focus points of our building this year is to amass that data, find those students, and then get them across the hump, get them over the hump and across the finish line so we can have more kids passing that. And consequently, you'll have a better report card. But I'm really pleased with the direction that we are that we're heading in.
For sure. And like you said, always room for improvement, but that doesn't mean you can't take a minute and say, hey, this is great. I mean, we've, you know, like you said, moved up to 4 stars sure. as a district. And so, you know, you kind of take a moment, glad to hear it, and then you shoot for higher. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. We can't rest on our laurels. And, you know, we've at the risk of forgetting someone, I know, you know, I don't want to necessarily do that, but we have some areas that we really have dialed in where, you know, I feel pretty comfortable about the direction we're heading in. And I know some of our eighth grade students take the Algebra 1 test. And I believe that this was the third year in a row that we've had every one of those students that took Algebra 1 as an eighth grader pass the Algebra 1 test. And so that's something that we can kind of hang our cap on. But yeah, as you mentioned, there's always room for improvement, and I truly believe we are heading in the right direction, and we have a dedicated staff that I think is truly committed to getting the most mileage out of our students and motivating those students to do their best.
All right, Matt, always good to you know, catch up with you and learn about what is happening here, you know, at Parkway, and particularly, you know, at the middle school. And now I understand coming up next, we're going to meet Zachary Bates, who's an assistant principal, right?
Yeah. Zach's a great, great guy. He's been such a good addition to our district, and he's a jack of all trades. And I'm just so thankful he's a part of our team.
And with that, I want to also thank Greer's Power Digging and the Fremont Company. Thank you, Hag Towing and River Trail Campgrounds, along with the Rockford Eagles Lodge. We will... This is a back to school here at Parkway for this week. Thank you to Swiss Village, Chat Insurance Center, Second Crossing Brewery. Thank you to the Rockford Chamber, as well as The Fix. Kevin Sandler with Zachary Bates, assistant principal here at Parkway, K-12, I understand, right?
Yes, K-12.
Zach, if you would be so kind, let us know about your background a little bit. Where you grew up, what got you into education, what your career's been like up to this point?
Okay, so I grew up here in Parkway School District. I was a Wilshire boy. I graduated in 2008, 2009. Went to college at Edison State Community College for the first 2 years, and then ended up at Malone University. And in that stretch, I met my wife, Ashley. Well, I guess I didn't meet her. I've known her for quite some time, but we got together, and we have 4 kids now. Ranging from 8, 6, 3, to 1. So it's pretty busy at our place. Ended up graduating from Malone University in 2014. My first teaching job was in Fort Wayne at a charter school. So I spent 1 year there, and then I spent 4 years at Van Wert Elementary. And then I was brought here to Parkway.
One of the things that you have brought back, kind of an exciting thing, was the elementary carnival, I understand. So let's hear about that.
Yeah, so the elementary carnival was something that our High Five group put on, and that was a parent group. The last time that we had our carnival was 2019. We felt like we needed to get the community involved a little bit more, so we brought it back last year, and I worked with Michelle Triblett. You familiar with Michelle, our elementary secretary? She was a big person in that that group to put that carnival back together. So a lot of props to her.
Sounds like also a lot of fun for the kids, you know, in so many ways, right?
Yes. So our elementary gym was jam-packed with carnival games around the outside. It's kind of amazing. We sold pre-sale wristbands for students to come, and I think we sold around 400 wristbands. So thinking about 400 kids, and most of them brought their parents, that elementary gym was probably more filled than I've ever seen it before. So it was an awesome time.
That's great. It's fun to put something on and see it enjoyed by so many, right?
Yes, for sure.
Excellent.
And it was really, really neat to see, for our parents to see our teachers, because our teachers volunteered for the carnival, and they were in charge of the different carnival games. So it was neat for our teachers and our community to act. Not act, but interact.
Yeah. So let's, you talk about that, you know, we call you the assistant principal, mm-hmm. and we don't tie you to one school. You assist everybody, I understand, right?
Yeah. So I'm most familiar with the elementary, obviously, just teaching, being a second grade teacher. This year, we're working on a little bit of MTSS, which is multi-tiered system of supports, and we're moving on transitioning that into the middle school. So I've been working with some middle school teachers. And then one responsibility that I've kind of taken on this year is busing, like bus discipline. So just keeping it very consistent among the different school buildings.
Yeah, and that is obviously set the expectation early and let them know this will not change in your school career, you know?
Yes, definitely. You know, riding the bus is a privilege. Just keeping that, I don't know, discipline consistent throughout definitely helps.
People, I think, that have not been in education or they've forgotten what it's like to ride a bus have to understand that a vehicle like that full of kids and early in the morning, et cetera, I mean, that can go sideways sometimes. That's just the nature of the beast, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. I know reports from bus drivers, they share that the mornings are generally pretty low key, but as you can imagine, by the end of the day, students are pretty wound when they're on the bus.
I remember, yes. And I'm sure these days some of the technology has to help you. There's recordings and other things, you know.
Definitely. So if stories ever conflict on bus discipline, you can always pull the bus film, and pretty much every inch of that bus you can see. So, you know, yeah. And our goal is to keep those kids as safe as possible, and those do the trick.
You'd be like that NFL referee with the booth and look in there.
Yes.
Go to the tape, in a sense. So, well, good. And not just that, but also you had mentioned, the systems and trying to get things together, and transitioning from, like one school, to the other. Let's hear more about that, too.
Yeah. So in the elementary, if we ever have struggling students, we provide interventions for them to continually improve. And our issue was, that transition from elementary to middle school. So we're trying to develop a set of systems where all that information that we use in elementary is then transferred to the middle school so that the middle school teachers can go ahead and pick up right where they left off in the elementary.
Excellent. Another thing, too, and, you kind of did this with the carnival to include the kids that have sensory issues. Mm-hmm. And, for some parents, if they have not had kids that had sensory issues or people listening that do not have kids or, that their grandparents now and they didn't grow up with this either, but that's something you can talk about briefly, what sensory issues are and the challenge that this means to you as an educator.
Yeah, so we talked about how many kids were in that gym. So if you can imagine 400 kids, their parents in that elementary gym, it's probably pretty loud, pretty overwhelming as far as, stimulation-wise. So we give, I think it's a 45-minute stretch at the very beginning of the carnival where students with those sensory issues can come in, where the gym is less packed, less filled, there's not as much noise, and they're kind of free to explore in a little bit more calming situation.
Yeah, and I think that is something that almost anyone can relate to. People, there are some people that really don't care for large crowds, or when they go out to eat, if it's really busy, they don't want it to be loud and so on and so forth. And in that case, maybe it's more of an inconvenience. But if you multiply that 5-10 times, you'll understand this is an overload. This is much worse than that for these kids.
Yes, definitely. And when they come in, it's a lot more personal. The teacher-student interaction is really good, and it's a little bit more focused, so it's pretty special for them.
That's for sure. And so it's fun to hear about, you know, what's next, because it's exciting. You know, you're seeing the kids have more opportunities. You're able to kind of open the door figuratively and literally, you know, for kids' education that may not have been there before.
Yeah, definitely. This was, are you referring to the carnival, Kevin?
Anything you got coming up, yeah.
We're continually trying to introduce new things throughout the school year. I'm not going to say that we have anything specific planned, but we've been having some fun talks about some activities with our elementary, middle, and high school for sure.
I thought about also your role as an assistant principal and helping all the grades, the consistency with that, you know, you're going to remember them from when they were younger, and, you know, can be anything from, hey, you know, we're going to get this issue straightened out because I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be your assistant principal your whole career. So right. Let's get this straightened out, all the way to, you know, you resolve it, you move on, you're proud of them as they get older. Now they're doing really well.
Definitely. And the cool thing about this position is, you know, I know all these kids, those relationships were formed. So I can walk through the elementary school, say hello to everybody. They know me. I can walk through the middle school, and so on and so forth. So those relationships have been pretty cool to make, and it's been really neat.
I'm sure also even when you look back at your own career, there are a couple teachers, even principals, you never forgot them, you know, either because you had such a great time being their teacher, or they were your mentor, or, mm-hmm. you know, they kind of put you in your place as needed. And you learn from all of them, don't you?
Yes, definitely. Specifically, I'm not going to talk about any of my previous teachers, but I'm very grateful for the admin team here. I've been able to work with them over the past 2 years. And they are a wealth of knowledge. I'm very grateful that I've had the chance to work with them and continue to work with them.
Yeah, it's good to have people with experience to lean on, to learn from, to ask questions, you know?
Yes, definitely. So Matt, as far as, you know, middle school, he's come to me to ask some specific questions on things that we've done in the elementary. And it's just been neat being that kind of bridge.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. And you know, for you, I'm sure that, you know, some of the teachers and administrators even, they probably remember you anyways, right?
Yes. Yeah. Are you referring to my school days?
Yeah, your school days, all that. You know, just after a while, you just kind of build those relationships.
Yes, for sure. And I've actually been able to kind of interact with some middle school teachers this year that I had in middle school. So it's been pretty fun, yeah.
I would think also, and a moment of pride for them, you know, that they knew they had a role in your life and in what you became, and that's got to be great for them, a feather in their cap, so to speak, you know.
Definitely, yeah. Hopefully, they remember all the good things about me in middle school, and none of the bad.
And isn't that usually how it goes? You know, you do kind of forget some of the rough things. You do eventually forget the bad, and you remember the good, right?
Yes,
at least you hope so.
Yes, right? For sure.
And that's for sure. Zach, I want to thank you again. You know, for coming. It's good to hear, you know, what you've done, what you're going to be doing, and. And kind of keeping a positive outlook on all of that. So we appreciate your time.
Definitely, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
And we welcome you back here. We're doing Back to School from Parkway, and we're just waiting the arrival of Ryan Schmidt, who is the football coach here at Parkway. We previously, you know, had a conversation today with Matt Triplett already. the middle school principal. We've talked with Zach Bates, who's assistant principal. We're going to have a conversation a little later with a school therapist and also coach as well. We're going to do, transportation. So in the meantime, though, we say hello once again to Coach Schmidt, who we talked to when he was first hired. He was, on Spectrum with us. Coach, nice to see you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk briefly about, your history, how long you've been here. Let's bring people up to speed just in case they missed that prior broadcast that you and I did.
Yeah, this is my second year. We've come a long way in building our program. We've got a long way to go. We're very young this year, but that's sometimes very good when you're trying to build a program. So that certainly has been a very big positive for us.
Let's also talk about, the commitment of playing football. For example, with the start of the football season, prior to it, when do you guys start getting together in the year, when you start doing the practice, the drills, all that stuff?
We start lifting actually in January. So pretty much we're lifting in January. Then we start doing workouts in June. So it's a lot of commitment, but a lot of our kids play other sports, so they're not only lifting, but they're also playing other sports. So it kind of helps them for everything that they do.
Yeah, it helps them probably get in shape, yeah, et cetera, and so on. So, and obviously then when you get into the actual, practice, I'm sure some of that, people are familiar maybe with some of the drills and some of the things you do. But in general, what's a practice about? I'm sure tackling, skills, fundamentals, working on plays, right?
Work on plays, a lot of fundamentals. In order to build where we need to go, there's a lot of fundamental deficiencies that we've really started having to try to work to get our kids better. And it really, for us, it's not just our high school kids, it's our younger kids, our junior high. We've really had to revamp that just to really help to start to build our kids. And it's a time-consuming thing. It takes, certainly it's not something you do in a year, so it takes time, but once you start to develop that, then those things become natural, which right now for a lot of our kids, a lot of fundamentals are not natural, so it's really trying to get that taught.
How about also, when we talked about working on plays, from your perspective as a high school football coach, where do the plays come from, and are there times you look at a play and say, yeah, that's a nice looking play, but we don't really do that here, versus finding the ones that work here?
Most coaches, we all have a system, which we do. For me, my system comes from college. I've been involved in college football and professional for many years. So, I have a system that's really a college-based system, which most every high school now is running some form of a college system. But there are certain things within the system that you're going to do. There are certain things that, you're looking your kids this year, maybe not able to do. So you kind of scrap that. So you're always just trying to find the best. We've grown a lot here in 2 years offensively. We're still, a work in progress defensively, but it's starting to grow, and that's what we want.
Do you have a lot of kids who play both sides of the ball?
Yeah. Right now I have a, very young team. I only have, six seniors. So a very young team. And then with injuries, we've got kids, quite frankly, that should be playing JV ball that are playing varsity. So, that's both good and bad. It's good for the experience. It's just sometimes it's a little bit hard for them because, they are playing people that are, juniors and seniors and have been doing it a couple more years. So.
Sure, I can see where that, would be hard. And also the challenge of playing both sides of the ball. You got your offense to learn, but you got to learn defensive schemes too, right?
Yeah, and you got to learn special teams and everything. So it's a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of pride though that they're doing it, right?
Yeah, we've, the record's not indicative of how far we've come, but our kids continue to develop, and that's what we're asking for this year.
True. And also, you know, you look at the league you play in, you know, the MAC, and obviously it's tough. There's no legacy nights. Programs in there, right?
There's no easy nights. You know, it's best league in Ohio, and everybody is really good. So, you know, you're not going to get a night off.
Yeah. And and I'm sure you teach them, right? You know, win properly, lose properly, right? You just have to, and keep your head up. Don't let it get you too down, or don't get too excited either way, right?
Yeah, we're working on a lot of different things here. A lot of it's mental. It's been that way for a long time. So we're working a lot on the mental aspects of it. You know, how you prepare yourself going into a game. So it's been a lot of work. You know, I've spent a lot of time talking with sports psychologists this year because, you know, there's mental things that we can do to help our kids to be more successful.
Can you talk about that briefly? What the mental aspect of the game and some of the things you look for?
Well, I mean, like with anything, you know, here at Parkway, because it's been such a consistency of not having success, then that becomes the expectation. Whether we want it to or not, we become a product of that expectation. So it's changing that mindset. It's how you practice. So, you know, practicing in a positive way, practicing to get something out of it. It's putting your emotions into it. It's very easy for kids, especially nowadays. It's easier to just, if I'm not going to have success, I'm just going to laugh it off and be done rather than actually caring about it. Well, we're really working to get our kids to care about it. And, you know, if you lose, care about it. And now let's start figuring out how to get better. Because if you don't care, then you're not really going to care about getting better. So it's those things that we're really working on to get ourselves better.
In a sense, maybe a quick way to say it is change the culture, right?
Yeah, and that's been my big buzzword for kids. Really, we're changing our culture, changing the standards. You know, I've been really proud of our kids this year because we've had a lot of injuries, a lot of young guys playing, and you know, we've really battled everybody. You know, we've had a couple tough starts to games, but we don't quit, and that's been one of the really big things that we've started to develop.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a thing where you tell them, hey, we play 60 minutes, yeah, right? You know,
you gotta play every minute, and you know, we're getting there. It's a process. I think that's the biggest thing that I always try to let people understand is building a program is a process. It doesn't happen in a year. It doesn't happen in 2 years. It's building a process, but I've got a lot of people that are behind the process. You know, I've been really happy with so many of our parents and community people that see the process, and they're like, hey, you know, I know it might be easy to get down, but keep doing what you're doing because we're seeing the process, and yeah. So that's important.
Yeah, sometimes, too, we look back on how, you know, programs, even, you know, pro teams kind of built themselves up, and they took a chance, they hired a new coach, they brought in a new staff, and maybe that first year and a half was not very good, and then suddenly what you planted starts to grow, right?
Yeah, we in the summertime, we were conditioning, and, you know, out back in the school, there's a big, gigantic field, and there was nothing out there, and we talked a lot about, you know, that's our program. You know, we don't have a program. We have a football team. We're trying to develop a program. And we have nothing built. So we get to build from the ground up. And so our kids have really started to see that. And, you know, how they attack the weight room, how they attack practice, you know, just those things, they're starting to do the way it's supposed to be done as opposed to the way it has been done. And that's, you know, again, it takes time. But we're starting to see the process, and that's the biggest thing for me right now.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes you figure it might only take one night in a sense that you get the big upset. We've seen those over the years, yeah, right?
You know, we've talked a lot about we're at a point now in building our program where the next, you know, that next win is going to be huge for us because it becomes a validation that, hey, look, we've moved ourselves to this point of the process. Now we start moving ourselves to the next point of the process. And so it's each building block. But, you know, we're going to get that win sooner or later. It's just, you know, a matter of us continuing to do what we're doing. And, you know, we got to heal up a little bit. We've had a lot of very strange injuries this year. It's been a very difficult year with that. But that's football. You have those cycles where you'll have three or four years where you really don't have a lot of crazy injuries. And then you'll just have that one year where, I mean, people – sprain an ankle walking down the hallway. So
I was going to say, we don't need to remember what happened to my beloved Lions defense last year. Right. That derailed the season, and obviously that can happen, right, at any level where you get a few injuries and you do the next man up thing. But some players they're very special.
When you only have six seniors and six, seven juniors. Next man up could be, a young freshman that's maybe not ready to play yet in the MAC at a varsity level, but the game is still going to get played.
That's right.
You don't have a lot of choices. You just try to put them in the best spot you can.
Another thing I'm sure you remind them to is, have fun with this. You're playing football. You're having a good time. For many of them, they're not going to continue to play in college. They're going to do other things. So soak it in, right?
Well, we have a lot of fun. Like yesterday, we had one of our best practices that we've had. But, what made it great was, we have a lot of fun. They know when it's time to get serious, but they also, we also have a lot of fun. And so that's been the biggest thing, is just really trying to get that good mindset of, understanding when it's time to go to work, but also being able to have fun and enjoy it. We have a very much a family atmosphere.
Well, prior to coming here, can you share with us some earlier parts of your career? Because you have that experience, college, yeah. Professional.
I coached professionally 15 years. I coached high school football in Columbus, Ohio for many years. Coaching professionally and in the high school level, it got me into a lot of different – with a lot of different college coaches. My biggest influence was Mike Leach, because he taught me the offense, and so many other college coaches that I've been around. So it's fun for me because every year I get to learn something new. I actually will always seek out in the offseason to learn something different. So I have a lot of fun with it. It helps me to be a better coach, because once you stop learning, then you're not going to be able to be as an effective coach as you want to be. So.
Now, also, for a coach, do you tend to watch football games differently than we do? You see some things normally we don't,
I tend to watch more college than pro, but I tend to watch games, and I'm analyzing it along, as a coach, and seeing things. But, it's worse for me when I actually go physically to a game, because I see it differently. I watch it differently. So on TV, it's like that. But honestly, when I go to a game, it's worse, because I literally find myself watching it more as a coach than I do as a fan.
You probably know that a certain play is going to be a disaster before anybody else does, right?
And we always joke about this as coaches, but we got coaches making $6-7 million a year, and you're watching the game going, why aren't they not seeing that? You have those times, but that's okay.
Yeah. And sometimes, it's like you can tell it was a good play to call, but the other team sniffed it out, or their guys are just a little bit bigger, and so their edge rushers just ran over your blockers and things like that, right?
Thing that people, I think, get caught up in plays. So many times, sometimes it's Jimmy's and Joe's. If your Jimmy's are stronger and more athletic than the Joe's, it doesn't matter what you call sometimes. It is what it is.
But, yeah, it is. Sometimes
you can only hide deficiencies so much sometimes.
I'm sure that's something, again, as a coach, you can watch a game and see that happening where an offensive line is so brutal that the defense doesn't get to touch the runner until he's already moved 4 or 5 yards, right?
So, it's I've always had fun with it, so I enjoy it.
Excellent. So again, you remind people, come on out, right? Support your team. I know for one thing, you guys usually travel pretty well too when you got a road game.
You know, our fans are great. We travel well. We play for Sales tomorrow. Our kids are excited about it. It's another opportunity. The one thing that's been great with our kids is even with all the injuries, they continue to, bring the effort and battle through it. We're growing our program, and that's the biggest thing is success doesn't happen overnight. It's success takes a long time, but you can, take a long time to get success, but you can also be very quick to lose success. So our kids know, they have to work. They know that it's going to be a lot of work, but, we had such a great increase in our weight room, and our kids got stronger. We expect an even bigger jump next year in our weight room. But for the rest of the year, it's just, getting our kids healthy and just continuing to progress. And good things are going to happen.
That's what it's about for sure. Coach, good to see you. Thank you so much for dropping by. Good to have you. And good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. And here we are with Back to School from Parkway. Kevin Sandler with you. Thank you to Swiss Village and Chat Insurance Center, Hague Towing and the Fremont Company, and also River Trail Campgrounds. We're going to talk with Jessica Reynolds, school therapist, and Ashley Place, who is a coach. And ladies, thank you for coming. Good to see you.
Yes, nice to see you.
Yeah, thank you.
I wanted to begin, either one of you, of course, can kind of take it from here, but share with us, what it is you do in the district and how you're able to benefit the kids.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead. My name is Ashley Place, and I'm a success skills coach out here at Parkway. I'm actually with the Mercer County ESC, and what I do out here is I get to work with the district staff, the teachers, on skills that can benefit the students in the classroom, but also like in daily life. So I might go out, I might, observe in a classroom if there's some skills that the teacher can implement to help the students, and then also help the teacher get her lessons or his lessons out in a manner that learning can really take place at the optimal level. That's what I get to support with, and it's a really cool job. I love it.
Sounds like, that it's kind of neat that you're able to, to be here, and you work with the ESC, a great organization also that in so many ways supports, a lot of schools, within the district.
We're a great organization, and we're growing like crazy.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times when I think of ESC, I think about innovation. Yeah. There's a lot of new stuff that's happening, and by having like one person, it would be hard, for a district to bring in those services, but ESC can do it, and they can share personnel around like that.
And collaboration. I mean, collaboration with lots of districts and learning from each other.
Excellent. So, Jessica, you are a school therapist, I understand, right?
Yes, I'm Jessica Reynolds. I actually work for Foundations, which we serve Van Wert, Mercer, and Paulding counties. We have some therapists in different, schools, districts, kind of supporting kids with emotional regulation, some social skills, and just support in general at school and even in their home life.
All right. Can you share with us a bit about your background, where you came from originally, and what got you into this line of work?
Yeah. So actually, I just graduated college in May from Defiance College with my social work degree. So definitely really happy to be here and get my career started. I graduated from Lincoln View High School, so currently residing in Van Wert.
All right, so you're a Lancer.
Yes.
That's all right. What inspired you to get into this line of work?
Yes, definitely that empathetic of wanting to help others, definitely want to help others where maybe that they're struggling in their life and helping them develop those skills to help them continue in their life.
And for you, you know, when you talk about what kids might be dealing with, you had kind of talked about, you know, some of the emotional things. Can you kind of share with us exactly kind of what that means?
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes kids show like anger or different things in the classroom. And sometimes teachers or even like us in general don't see some of the underneath part of their different like big emotions that they have. So kind of like breaking down that emotion for them. And talking about ways we can maybe kind of manage that emotion so that way we're still learning in the classroom and building skills for their life.
Yeah, and probably in some cases it's coping skills,
yep.
Right?
Definitely.
And also building trust. That must also Absolutely. Be very hard, you know, when you say, I'm here to help, what's going on in their life, and you have to overcome that, hey, I don't know you kind yep. of thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely building trust is a big thing with kids. Definitely getting them to kind of open up and even building that rapport with them is a big step for them.
And I'm sure some of the things you find out, you know, what they might be coping with. As they say, you don't always know what somebody's going through.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, sometimes we have that underneath part that we don't know about, you know, and then even kind of developing coping skills that can be used in very different situations. So not every coping skill is utilized in every situation. So sometimes coping skills that are good for school might not be good in other situations. So kind of working through that with them.
True. And obviously in that case, for you, I mean, you're kind of relatively new at doing this, right?
Yes.
That's the thing. So really, as we talk here in kind of mid to late September, you know, you're probably still very much getting used to some things, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's still rapport building with me, with the staff here at Parkway too.
I also sense that it's not like you're waiting for them to come to you. You're probably trying to get yourself out there and introduce yourself, et cetera.
Absolutely. Yeah. Standing in the hallway, just introducing myself to kids, making my face known to the kids, knowing that I'm in the building and here to support them. That's definitely what my big thing is.
I'm sure you also explained to them that there should be no stigma, you know, that if you're talking to a social worker or, you know, talking with someone from foundations, that's fine, right? We certainly know, for example, if you fall, mess up your wrist or your knee, or you have that cough that won't go away, of course you're going to go to the doctor, right? But
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's hard to, you know, tell your friends, well, I'm dealing with PTSD or anxiety, you know, that's the kind of stuff we still tend to keep quiet.
Yes, definitely. And I know even me and Ashley this morning were talking about different like skill building, right? Sometimes it's not even just calling it therapy. We're building skills that we can utilize in everyday life. So we don't always have to say, I'm going to therapy. I'm maybe going to build some skills that we can use.
Let's hear about that again from either one of you. What are some skills you can build?
Well, I think the cool thing about Parkway is they have Jessica, who's been amazing. Even though she's new, like I keep telling her, I'm like, hey, you're doing some really cool things. Who's a school therapist, but in my role as well with the teacher end, if we're seeing things or if a student might need support, we have the capacity here at Parkway to have access to a school-based therapist who's here 5 days a week, or our guidance counselors are good too. I mean, what can we do within the supports we have to really support the students and the staff with wellness? So if we have a kiddo that they might be struggling, you know, with even as much as attention, just paying attention in class. And I might work with the teacher on some things that she can do at a class-based level that's good for all. But if they're really struggling, they can go to Jessica for deeper skills. And so that's something that's special here at Parkway that's not in all districts that we have access to support at a deeper level.
True. And obviously, when you talk about how sometimes it can be hard to pay attention, if only it was just as simple as, come on now, concentrate a little bit more. Try and imagine, right? You're like that computer that's got a lot of tabs opening, some of them aren't working, and there's music playing. You know, that can be maybe an illustration of what their head is like as they're actually trying to focus on what their teacher's saying. But inside, it's noisy, right?
Yes, and that's definitely what... Talking about all that underneath part, you know, we might have a ton of things circling in our head about what's for dinner, what did I have for breakfast this morning, things like that, though we don't really know what they're thinking about, so it struggles with that attention.
Yeah, and that's and they might even be, you know, feeling bad about it, like, I like this teacher, I want to learn these things, but it's like you said, what's for dinner tonight? Sometimes for some people, that's just how your head works,
yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Yeah, or you think, who's pitching tonight? You know, just stuff like that. That, and you sit there, how do you shut this off? I got to get a good grade on this test, right?
Yes, yes. And I know definitely some kids just have a lot of even just stuff going on in their life too, you know, just that dinner situation. Maybe they're questioning what's even for dinner tonight. So sometimes it's just a lot deeper than just some things of just a teacher telling you, you know, you got to pay attention in class. There's something deeper down inside for them.
True. And I think also sometimes we always hear about, you know, try not to give kids adult problems. But, you know, when I think about what some of my own friends, you know, went through, that their parents may be splitting up and how that's going to rock their world, or somebody's passed away, you know, and maybe when you get to be an adult, you learn, well, okay, this is sad, but I got to go to work, you know, life goes on. But for a little one, you know, they're being given some adult problems and they're not really ready for those yet.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely some challenges in that area.
Well, and I think too, again, this is where like Parkway is we got a good thing going with Jessica, with the students, and then myself with the teachers, because I can give the teacher that psychoeducation piece of, hey, their brain's just kind of spinning with this right now. Here's some things that we can do in the classroom so that learning can take place. And Jessica's there to support the students. So really it's that whole encompassing of what can we do so that students can learn and teachers can teach, and we're still addressing the trauma that may be impacting the education.
Yeah, and I'm sure you also find that they appreciate somebody's taking the time with them.
Yes, definitely. I have a lot of kids just come down and just want to talk. You know, sometimes it's just that listening ear for them that they don't might not have at home, or, you know, teachers are teaching 20-some kids a day, so they don't have that time just to listen to them for that 10, 15 minutes. And I really enjoy just being that listening ear for them.
I'm sure you also have had experiences where a kid will say, you know, thank you so much, you did a lot for me, and you think, actually, literally, all I did was listen to you.
Yes.
I haven't said anything yet, right?
Yep. Yep. I have a lot of sessions that it's just like I sit there and listen. I don't think I said two words this entire 20 minutes.
But somehow, you know, I'm sure it meant a lot for them to get this out, and to someone who's not going to judge them, that might even validate, you know, their angst and say, you know, I'd be upset too. And no, this is not easy to solve. And no, we will not be solving this today. But you can, like you talked about, coping skills, mitigation, you know, let's get through today, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Finding ways to get through your day today. Still working on those deeper things, but find ways to get through today without kind of having that blow up or meltdown in the classroom.
How about also you've talked about, you know, what Parkway's doing and how it's kind of unique. Do you think other districts are watching this thinking, oh, let's see how this goes. Maybe we'll do this too.
Oh, they are. They are. And we have the ability to collaborate with districts around the state. And so this is not something that's new, you know, around the state. We've looked at Montgomery County. We looked at Patrick Henry, and they have things in place. And so being able to collaborate to say, oh, this is what's happening in a small district. Oh, this is what's happening in the big district. And, you know, and how do we build this and how do we get this out? Because it is so important when our teachers are ready to teach and they have extra skills or extra support. I mean, I was a teacher for 13 years. I did not have this. But to have someone to come in and say, hey, just try this, like this little regulation technique of just clapping your hands with them. It makes a whole big of a difference. So hopefully down the line, this will become something that's everywhere.
And something also, I think, even when you do grow up and you're at work, you said, let's try something, let's clap our hands. How many times at work do you say, you know what, I'm going to go get a cup of coffee or something. I'm going to get up and take a little walk or a stretch. I need a break, you know?
Take a break, yeah, absolutely. And I know definitely helping with the teachers and the students, it's definitely beneficial for the students, because I know a lot of times it's not just working with the students, it's working with the entire support system for the student. So sometimes my role is not just the student, it's working with their families too to kind of build that support even in their home life. But it's also great that Ashley comes into place, you know, so we're building that support here at the school, implementing those interventions within the classroom too to help support the kid.
I'm sure also when you identify, you know, certain issues that a student may be facing, you're trying to maybe help them beat the odds, right? In, mm-hmm. in a lot of cases, you know, some studies show that if a child has this going on in their life or that going on in their life, that it can impact their later life, or that they're going to be able to graduate, et cetera. Stuff that you really want to try to help now, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah. The research has, sometimes it takes one person, one connection, one relationship that can change a student's whole trajectory. And you never know when you're going to be that one person. I mean, there's several times I've had a parent come back to me when I was in the classroom that said, "You will never know the impact you had on my kid." I'm like, "Really?" Like, and you don't even recognize it when it's right there, but just having that relationship is a big thing for kids and for staff.
For you, when you look back, you know, upon your own career, have you had moments like that where you had a student that had a lot of challenges, you worked with them, and you were able to kind of set them off into the voyage of a really good life, mm-hmm. you know?
I have. I mean, when you get to know students and you figure out their likes and things they're good at, and you use like that strength-based approach and you build upon it, I mean, it just kind of flows naturally. And I follow, like, I always follow are doing, or if I see a parent out, you know, "Hey, how's Jesse doing? You know, how's Sally doing?" I don't know. I was the teacher that always still kept my kids with me, even though when they left the classroom. And even now, I mean, I still work with kids and with staff, but now, like, my teachers, I always circle back. How's it going? You know, relationships, it's a strong bond. It's a strong hold. It can make a difference.
That's for sure. And for you, you know, Jessica, so far so good, right? We talk about stress and something new. That had to be a moment for you to kind of start a new position like that so recently, you know?
Yes, definitely. Coming into the school was definitely a big change. But I've had some clients that I've had in just these short few months that I've closed out. And, you know, circling back with them, just checking in, you know, they might not be a client or student of mine anymore, but still checking in to make sure how they're doing is always a positive thing for them.
All right. Excellent. I want to thank both of you. And, you know, I think this was a positive thing. And, you know, certainly good to know that that this support system is in place. Thanks so much.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And with that, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsors. It is Back to School at Parkway. Kevin Sandler with you. We can't do this without our sponsors. So thank you to The Fix and Greer's Power Digging and the Fremont Company. Thank you to Hague Towing, River Trail Campgrounds, and the Rockford Eagles Lodge. It's Rick Ream now, Transportation Supervisor at Parkway. Rick, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. My privilege.
So please share with us, how long have you been transportation supervisor now?
Yeah, I'll be going into my eighth year here.
And tell us, if you would, where you grew up and what got you into this.
Well, do we have that much time?
Sure we do. We'll make it work. Yeah.
All right. I'm a native from Wilshire area. Went to school here. Grew up in the Parkway School District and moved away after I graduated and got some experience at some other places. And actually, my kids, when they were little, I thought, well, I might as well drive bus for them. I was going on their field trips, so I thought, well, I might as well be a bus driver for my own kids. So I got my bus license back in 2008. So I took some time off from bus driving and got into some other fields of the workforce. And we moved back to this area. And my wife and I and my two daughters, and we enrolled our daughters back into school here. And of course, every school needs help driving a bus. So,
absolutely. And, you know, being the transportation supervisor, I'm sure, you know, for one thing, there may be times where you might still have to drive a bus, right? Or just, you know, days that go well, but others that have challenges at times, right? So let's talk about that. How many buses you have? How many drivers?
Well, currently we have 12 regular routes that we have, and we actually have 21 buses. And believe it or not, in the springtime, a lot of them buses will be gone during the route. So between 12 route buses and other activity runs, we use most of them all the time.
Another thing also is to kind of remember that for everybody, because they are so heavily used and they transport our kids. there's certainly maintenance issues, right, that have to be kept up on. And eventually, I'm sure hardly a year goes by where you're not buying another bus, right? You kind of have to rotate those out.
Yeah, absolutely. So the sad part of the bus system is, or the buses, as every other school can probably relate, the school buses kind of wear out faster than what they really, so that they don't get a lot of miles on them. They just got a lot of long miles. And we do try to keep up annually, at least one a year. Currently we have a couple that, probably should be replaced. And I think that's what we will end up doing, is we buy in a few more over the next couple of years.
And people will also quickly realize they're not cheap. They might cost more than your house.
For sure. So if you see somebody driving down the road with a BMW and you pull up behind that BMW with a school bus, you can guarantee the school bus probably costs more than that BMW.
There you go. And you can't take kids to school in a BMW either.
Well, you could look good doing it.
Yeah, but can't get as many in there.
No, you'd have to make more trips.
Something like that. For your average bus driver, I mean, what's it, even for you, I mean, how early does the day start? I mean, we know what time kids go to school, right?
Yeah, so my day starts about the same time as some of the other bus drivers. So I try to get here at the same time as the bus drivers do. And we actually have 7 school teachers that are currently full-time bus drivers as well. So they get here quite a bit early, and they get into their classrooms, and they take care of what they need to take care of in their classrooms. And then they go do their morning route. Then they teach all day, and then they do the afternoon route. So my hat's off to the teachers that are bus drivers as well.
And maybe talk about also how long a route, takes, because you're stopping and starting and what have you. And obviously, you're going to be right on time, because school buses are kind of known for that, right?
Yeah. So bus drivers, that's a routine, but it's also, it's a science. You know, they have their routes down to a science, and they know exactly what they need to do and where they need to be at a certain time. And,
let's also, kind of talk about the other thing, too, that is so important. But in general, I think I've seen people be better about that this year. Just, for the motoring public, we remind them that, once those lights come on, this is your responsibility of when you stop and when you can go again, as that bus is picking up or dropping off kids.
That is very important. Last year, we had more than I even want to relate on the radio, how many red light violations we turned in. And it's really, one is too many. One red light violation is too many. And this year already we've had several. And the State Highway Patrol, they do a great job of following up with that.
Yeah, I'm sure after all these years, they've heard every excuse. They don't want to hear it anymore. They're not really there to talk to you. They're there to hand someone their ticket, right?
Absolutely. And, we actually, several years ago, Parkway has installed state-of-the-art video systems, and we will catch the person that drives by. We have outside cameras on the bus, and there's never a question. We will get the license plate number and usually a great identification of the vehicle. So it's just not worth it.
No, because you think about like what time you leave for work. I mean, you might just leave a minute or two later or earlier, and you're going to miss that bus. That's all it takes,
Yeah, and we often scratch our heads and wonder, us as bus drivers, why? What's 1 minute? And again, if it's a routine, yes, just wait one more minute to leave the house, or one more minute early, and you will miss that bus.
Yeah, that's what that is about, and obviously that applies to all sides of the street. Some people, you might be coming north, the bus is south, and they're picking up kids over there. Doesn't matter, right? You got to stop. And same thing, right? Also with train tracks. That bus is gonna make a complete stop before they drive over that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's kind of funny. We'll have oncoming traffic. We'll just have our four-way hazard lights on as we are stopped at the river crossing. And we'll have people stop on the other side of the tracks. They don't have to. You know, they can drive past the bus with our, even though we're at a stop location for a river crossing. But we still have numerous people that will still stop. So it's courteous.
Another thing also, when you talk about being a school bus driver, I'm sure even you remember when you were growing up. I mean, you'd see your bus driver in the morning, or you're excited to be home, and you tell your bus driver goodbye. I mean, a bus driver's a part of your life, and you remember some of them to this day because they were pretty awesome people, right?
Oh, yeah, I definitely remember my bus driver because it was my dad.
Okay,
So I got to see him real early in the morning. And of course, in the afternoon, and I was the first one that was told I did something wrong as well. So, but definitely, bus drivers are the first person that most of these students see. And just a smile and a good morning can make their day.
That's for sure. And also, we should mention, I'm sure most of the kids on the bus, they're good kids. They don't start trouble. I can remember in the morning, I mean, it was just, you hear about people getting in trouble. I'm just sitting there thinking, hey, I can take a little snooze before we get to school, right? I mean, I'm not here to start trouble. And obviously, it only a few, but for the most part, these are good kids, right?
For sure. Parkway is very fortunate. I like to put a shout out to the community as well that we have a lot of good students. And the ones who get in trouble, they're just being kids.
Yeah, that's for sure. You just have to remind them, let's calm down a little bit here. Or hey, I know you're excited because it's Friday, right? You have to come back on Monday. And,
absolutely.
But let's be safe. And I'm sure even parents can pitch in and help out and say, yeah, we know you're just having fun. But please remember, you're still driving down the street. I mean, you got to be safe on in a moving vehicle like that.
Yeah, and speaking of the parents, I'm yet to ever have to talk to a parent who has told me that we are in the wrong. All of the parents I've contacted with bus issues are more than willing to work with the bus driver and to resolve their students' behavior.
Yeah, in some cases, the conversations that aren't easy, but they'll say to their kid, do you know what happens if you get kicked off the bus? You'll have to drive me, right? No, that's not what that means. You got 2 feet, and that's what you're going to use, so you better shape up, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's an ulterior motive some of these kids go after. They want to be kicked off the bus. I really don't think so. But and also, we go back to the camera system. That has really, really cut down on some of our discipline issues.
Yeah, like you were saying, what? No, let's look at what really happened, right?
Exactly. They know. And it's really funny because sometimes when I do review the films, they will look at the camera before they do what they want to do. So they make themselves really guilty.
Yeah. That's certainly something. But, again, I'm sure, for you, lots of fun, big part of it, getting these kids to school, in the morning. And sometimes the challenges you fight through there can be anything from some fog, snow, some rain, that you didn't even know was coming before you started the route, especially, I'm sure, with the rain and what have you. So, it's never boring around here.
No, just yesterday morning, matter of fact, that the weather changes, the weather patterns have changed so much that here in the last couple of years, and again yesterday as well, we have fog in the mornings, and it usually doesn't roll in until about 6:30. Well, the time our first bus goes out is about 6:30. So it's always a last-minute decision sometimes.
Yeah, and it can be so patchy. People
very
say,
much.
Like, why didn't you close school? Like, for what? It was foggy here. Oh, I'm sorry. You kind of find out that was the only place in town that had some fog. That's just how it goes sometimes,
Yeah, and we still take that in consideration because if it's in the Wilshire area only or Minden area only, we still have to take that in consideration that, one incident is too much. So, we still have to take care of our students in public.
No question. We're good to see you. Thanks for coming. Much appreciated.
Yeah, no problem.
I want to thank all of our guests, today, Matt Triplett, Zachary Bates, football coach Brian Schmidt, Jessica Reynolds, Ashley Place, Rick Ream. Thank you to Ashley Stetler for her help, Lee Kieser, our producer. Tomorrow we're going to have the high school principal, the prep club, the Scholastic Bowl team. We're going to talk art, and also we're going to talk about Parkway's business club. Thanks again to Greer's Power Digging and the Fremont Company, Hegg Towing, River Trail Campgrounds, and Rockford Eagles Lodge.